today's times, when even though we may be working from home, we find ourselves busier than ever. When can we fit in time for the gym? Is it open? What are the protocols? It's just so confusing. The easiest solution is to work out from home, but the cost of equipment can be so high. And how do you stay motivated? How would you like to have live, at-home, real-time interactive coaching from international award-winning coaches? You can have all of that in one app, the Knock Academy. The app is customizable for your schedule. Grab a workout in the morning before you start your day. How about a Pilates session at lunch? Strength training when you're finished your workday, or start your weekends with core training or a rejuvenating yoga session after a busy week. Knock Academy is live. Your instructors can offer real-time feedback, motivation, and instruction, all from the privacy of your own home. Check out the Knock Academy. That's N-O-C-K Academy. Listeners of Start Talking get 20% off your first month. Just use the discount code WEAS when you sign up. The Knock Academy. Get started on a better you today. Hey everyone, it's Scott here. I know we're going through a bit of a vacation for We As, but we wanted to keep you entertained. So what we thought we would do is play you some episodes during the month of December from our other podcasts. And my other podcast is a podcast that I do with my son, Liam. And it's called Why Do We Say That? Where we investigate the meanings of idioms that we use every day, but we're afraid to ask, like, why do we say rule of thumb? Why do we say don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, etc., etc.? So please enjoy this episode of my other podcast, Why Do We Say That? Enjoy.
The following program contains language that might not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Remember last week when we were talking about really long book titles? Like, it seems that every book that we ever quote from England had like 15, you know, letters in the title of the book.
Yes.
Well, I decided to Google the longest book title in the world, according to the Guinness Book of World's Record.
World's record. Yes.
The longest book title consists of 26,021 characters.
Why?
It is actually a book that was written by Vitalia Yethindra in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan on March 20th, 2019. The book title contains 3,777 words in the title.
I think that's more words than I actually know.
I think it's more words than I do. Now, do you want me to start reading? They actually list the title of the book here. This would be the longest episode of Word or Not a Word if I was to read all 3,777 words. But the full book title contains that many character or that many words.
Say the first 100.
Oh my God. Do you really think that people want to listen to me say that?
Yes.
The historical development of the heart, i.e. from its formation.
Please stop.
From an Annalinda, clam worm, sea mouse, lug worm, megascolex, tubiflex. This is like an episode of Word or Not a Word.
Tubiflex.
Megascolex, tubiflex. These are all have commas too, like after each word. Ferentima, freshwater leech, marine leech, land leech. Arthropodia. And it just goes on, you know, and what? On and on and on.
We'll use those words for later on.
For Word or Not a Word. Yeah, exactly. It's
just
like,
use those.
Here's like halfway. Hold on. I'm paging. Here's part of it. Kerry Blue, Prairie Dog, Airedale, German Spitz.
What?
Now they go into dog names. Spectacled Bear, Mouse, Squirrel.
Is it a list of every single animal? Is that what the book is?
Well, The title of the book actually starts, now I got a page back up, it's going to be a few minutes. The title of the book starts with the historical development of the heart, i.e. from its formation from Anna Linda, and then it just goes through, and I think it literally lists
every single animal.
Hold on, I'm going to go all the way down, see if I can get all the way down to the, can I, oh no, there's, now he starts asking questions in the title of the book. Or she. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, but their contributions to the formation of the modern humans. What is the origin of the heart? In which place the heart is situated? What is the weight of our modern human's heart? Can a person live without a heart? So it sounds like it's all about the heart. And what animals have them. It's the weirdest thing in the entire world.
Is worms involved? Because I know they have five hearts.
Well, there's 3,700. Okay, do you want to know what the last sentence, or let me read the last couple of sentences.
Okay.
How to make over your lifestyle. What type of measure should be taken to stay away from a heart attack? What are 20 types of foods that should be taken to keep your heart healthy? Solutions and answers of the above questions.
So is it like,
hold on. Solutions and answers of the above questions, material, and topics are included and cleared in this book. How big is this book? If the title's 3,777 words.
Here. You know what? Let's Google. What book is 3,000? What book title, sorry? Is 3,000 words.
No, it's 3,777 words. What is cardiac rehabilitation? Why cardiac rehabilitation is needed to heart attack patients? Like, it's crazy. I wanted to see a picture of the book. Oh, here it is.
That means that the title of this book is basically the same length as the first six pages.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that weird? You learn a new thing every day. And speaking of learning new things, what are you doing on the show tonight?
I'm going to be doing Face the Music and Under the Weather.
Face the Music? You mean like Bill and Ted Face the Music?
No.
Okay. And what was the second one?
None of Your Business.
Oh, well, you don't have to be rude. You can just tell me. I'm your dad.
I don't want to. Because I'm feeling a bit under the weather.
I'm going to do Your Name is Mud.
Did you hear what I just did? I said, sorry, I'm feeling a bit under the weather.
Oh, I thought the actual phrase was none of your business. Well, I'm so obtuse.
Well, make sure to not face the music under the weather.
You know what? I give you a 6 out of 10 for your transition.
All right, I can do better. Titles.
Can you do better?
Yep.
All right, so let's take two. Let me scene marker. Hold on, take two. All right. So, Liam, what do you got on the show for tonight?
Well, I'm feeling a little under the weather, but I think I still have to face the music.
Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. That gets this. Oh, my God. I didn't put my thing with the thing. Hold on, pal. That's what you get. That was amazing. An excellent, excellent one. Your transition or your compare, how do we say that? What's the word? It's not a word.
Conflabadori.
Not a word.
It's just a word I made up. No, it's real. Technically, every single word is made up, so.
Yes and no.
It is yes. It's 1,000% true because then words didn't just pop out of nowhere.
Well, I'm going to do, let me see if I can do it like you do. I'm going to make sure that I handle this with kid gloves, but I don't think so I might be calling myself My Name is Mud.
That was so bad. I oh my gosh, ridiculous,
terrible,
so bad.
I'm sorry.
Please leave.
I can't. I ruined everything.
I can do it myself. I'll figure it out. Please just go. Mm-hmm. All right, fine.
Anything else to add before no, we start
just,
the show?
Just go, please. I need to get over this.
All right, stand by. Here we go.
Welcome to Why Do We Say That? The show that answers the questions that have plagued us for centuries. Well, not really, just the ones we've always wondered about, but were too lazy to Google. Now, here are your hosts, Scott and Liam Kelly.
Welcome to Why Do We Say That? The Game Show. No, it's not a game show. Our game show is at the end. It's a word or not a word. But welcome to Why Do We Say That? The podcast that explains all of the etymologies and the histories of the idioms that you use in everyday language. But just we're always wondering what they meant and where they came from. And that's what we're here for. My name is Scott. I'm your host. This is my son, Liam, my co-host.
Bubba Duda.
Let's jump right into the show. Oh, wait. Okay, what?
I don't know.
Let's jump into the show?
No.
We've got an exciting episode for you, folks.
It's not exciting. It's just like every other one. Huh?
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right.
We are going to play our world famous yet contested game show later on. Word or not a word, but we're going to get right into our first phrase, which is, you always get to start because you are such a gentleman. Go ahead. What's our first one?
I'll tell you, right? Have you ever wondered what Face the Music is?
It's a great movie by Bill and Ted.
Untrue.
Excellent.
The phrase Face the Music has an agreeable imagery. We feel that we can picture who has facing the music and what facing the music was playing at the time. Isn't that weird?
Okay.
Do you understand what words mean?
Not a word. Go on. We can't have dead air on the podcast, so
talk. We feel that we can picture who was facing what and what music was playing at the time. Regrettably, the documentary records don't point to any clear source of the phrase, and where we are so often at the mercy of plausible speculation.
Speculation.
Sure. There was, of course, a definitive and unique origin for the expression, face the music, and whoever coined it was quite certain of the circumstances and the music being referred to. Let's hope at least that one of the following suggestions is the correct one, even though there is no clear evidence to prove it.
I still don't get that. What do you mean?
A commonly repeated assertion is that face the music originated from the tradition of disgraced officers being drummed out of their regiment.
Oh, okay. So if they were kicked out of the army, somebody played music while they were being kicked out. Yeah. So they had to face the music. Do we know what music it was?
It was a drum mat.
Okay. So now in traditional colonial times, actually before that, but like if we're talking the American Revolution.
This is UK.
In the UK, they fought during colonial times. They took over a whole crap load of countries. But there was always a drummer that drummed to the beat.
Yes.
Or he drummed a beat for the soldiers to march to.
There's another one, another
that's,
possible.
That's another phrase. March to a different drummer.
Yeah. Another popular theory is that it was actors who faced the music, that is, faced the orchestra pit when they're on stage.
Is that? Oh, okay. So if you're on stage, you're facing the orchestra. So you're facing the music, meaning that you have to get up there and perform.
Yeah. And then there was a third, less likely, but quite interesting run. The less was recounted with some confidence by a member of the choir at a choral concert I attended recently in Sheffield.
Sheffield. It's in England.
It related to the old UK practice of West Gallery singing.
What's West Gallery singing?
I don't know.
So the West Gallery, I assume, is a part of a church.
Okay.
Which was usually shaped in the form of a cross.
Okay. This was singing literally from the West Galleries of English churches.
Okay. So is that so they would face the music while they were singing?
By the common peasantry who weren't allowed to sit in the higher status parts of the church, the theory was that the nobility were obligated to listen to the vernacular songs of the parishioners.
Parishioners.
Often with lyrics that were critically of the ways of the generity.
I don't know. That's not a word.
It may help to pinpoint the origin to know the phrase appears in the mid-19th American, and the origin of the earliest citation I can find for the phrases, the New Hampshire Statesman's and State Journal, August 1834, was the first time it was ever used.
Okay, so facing the music was being ejected from the military, where they had to essentially march you out.
Yeah. And it's when it,
through a drummer.
Yeah. And it's when the actor is like, hey, what you doing?
So the actors get on stage and they're facing the orchestra pit. So we could say to the actors, it's time to face the music.
Yeah.
If you, as an acting student, was on stage, we would say you would have to face the music. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, it was also what?
Just like an old book, it said it in there.
An old English book with like 15 titles?
Yeah.
Or 15 words in the title?
It
didn't
say the book title, it just said it was a book.
So, but was it 3,777 words?
It might have been.
Probably. With over 26,000 characters.
Wow.
Yeah, don't ever do that voice again.
Wait, I got a question, though.
Don't do that voice again.
I got a question, though.
I have an answer.
How did they fit all the words on the page of the book?
They didn't. I think it probably went into the sleeve. It went into the first few pages as well.
So,
actually, you know what? Later on, I will show you
the cover.
I'll show you the cover, and it looks like it's crazy. There's like minute words on it.
Cressy.
It is crazy.
Cressy.
All right. So is it my turn?
I'll allow it. I'm going to sneeze now. I sneezed.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Don't sneeze on my show.
I didn't. I sneezed on my show.
Well, your name is Mud if you're thinking about that.
That's my thing.
All right. So are you familiar with President Abraham Lincoln?
No, never heard of him. What did he do?
Seriously?
Is that the one that cut down the cherry tree?
No, that was George Washington. He didn't actually do it. Abraham Lincoln, he was president during the Civil War. He created the Emancipation Proclamation, his famous speech 47 years ago. Like, what do they teach you in school?
Well, not American history, because it's Canada.
Well, I know you go to school in Canada, but you still have to learn American. Well, you know what? I had Schoolhouse Rock. I had Schoolhouse Rock as a kid. You didn't. So you don't.
Well, of course I know who Abraham Lincoln is.
All right. Well, are you familiar with who killed him?
Yes, John Wilkes Booth. You know what's even crazier, though?
Come on, you're getting applause.
Okay.
That was brilliant. Okay, John Wilkes Booth. All right, good.
Wait. But do you know something even crazier?
All right, what?
John Wilkes Booth's ancestor saved Abraham Lincoln's ancestor from a train crash.
That was in a movie.
No, it's real.
No, that was
a movie. He saved his life.
Wasn't Nicolas Cage in that movie?
I don't know, but it was real.
All right, well, you know what? You've never lied to me yet, so I'll take your word for it.
You just lied to yourself. Of course I've lied to you. There was a time when I was 4 years old, you said, hey, Liam, did you brush your teeth yet? You know what? I hadn't brushed my teeth yet.
Yeah, but you did it.
Yeah,
you went and brushed your teeth.
Okay, but it was 10 minutes later after I said that I did it.
But you still did it to make up, so ergo, it wasn't a lie because you actually had to do it.
All right, well,
out of guilt because you were such a wonderful child.
Okay, but if I don't kill someone, but I say that I did, does it mean that I didn't kill them?
All right, so what's the meaning of the phrase, your name is Mud?
It means that you suck.
No, actually, technically, yes. It means you're unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people remember
just like you in high school, nerd. L loser.
Totally meeting your mic in about 2 seconds. So, if you were a child of the 1950s, 60s, and 70s.
Which I am.
No.
Yep.
Millennial.
Okay. How old are you?
None of your business.
And how old is mother?
None of your
business. She's 50. Therefore, I'm a child of the 50s. She's not 50. Yes, she is. She's 52.
If you watched the Warner Brothers cartoons from the 1940s, in the 70s, when I was a kid, you heard people say, well, my name must be Mud. Meaning that you were unpopular or that you were a loser. And what is the phrase of, what is the origin of the phrase, your name is Mud? Well, if you're familiar with John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated President Abraham Lincoln.
What's the difference between a murder and a assassination?
We'll get into that later.
All right.
John Wilkes Booth shot President Lincoln in the back of the head and then jumped off the balcony. And when he hit the stage and then said something in Latin, he ran away with a broken ankle and had to have a doctor named Mud fix his ankle. And then they found out about it. So I'm going to read a little bit about it. In 1865, Dr. Mudd gave medical help to John Wilkes Booth, who broke his leg while escaping after shooting President Abraham Lincoln. Mudd was convicted of being Booth's conspirator, although the evidence against him was ambiguous and circumstantial, and many historians argue he was innocent of any murderous intent. So he, like, Wilkes Booth just showed up into his house.
Yeah.
He has since been pardoned, and there is even a Facebook site dedicated to salvaging his reputation. Actually, when Dr. Mudd was innocent, or whether Dr. Mudd was innocent or not, is of little consequence in regard to the origin of Your Name is Mudd. Huh. As it was in general circulation long before... Oh, okay. It was in general circulation long before President Lincoln was assassinated. There's a citation that comes from a John Badcock book called Slang, A Dictionary of the Turf.
The ladies must love him.
Why?
His last name.
Okay. You're so 16. Stop
it. Hey, okay. Also, homosexual men too. You never know.
All right, whatever.
We include everybody here.
The name of the book was Slang, A Dictionary of the Turf in 1823, which was like 40 years before Lincoln was shot. Mudd, a stupid twaddling fellow, and his name is Mudd. Upon the conclusion of a silly oration or a leader of the courier. If the phrase wasn't originally Your Name is Mudd, how did it originate? Mudd is exhaustively defined in the OED as soft, moist, glutinous material resulting from the mixing of water with soil, sand, dust, or other earthly matter.
I got a question though.
You have a question? Put your hand up.
Okay.
Put your hand up. Okay, Liam, you have a question?
In the Bible, isn't that what Adam was made out of?
No.
He was made out of clay.
I honestly, it's been so long since I've read that part of the Bible, I have no memory.
Basically, what I understood from that is that humans are mud.
No, I think it was clay.
I think that humans are mud.
Well, we all know that mud is made, again, of the soft, moist, glutinous material. It sounds like it's mud. It sounds dirty, actually.
I'm a toad from Mississippi. My name's Mud.
No, it sounds...
I'm a toad from Mississippi.
No, don't do that on the mic.
This.
A soft, moist, glutinous material resulting from the mixing of water with soil, sand,
I took off the headphones.
Or other earthly matter.
I'm taking off the headphones.
The word began to be used in a figurative sense as early as the 16th century to refer to things that were worthless or polluting. The usage was later extended to apply to people as listed in the 1703 account of London's lowlife Hell Upon Earth, Mud, a Fool, or Thick Skull Fellow. Wow. For reasons that are difficult to fathom, mud later began to be used as a general intensifier. In the 19th century, there are many printed examples of as fat as mud, as rich as mud, or as sick as mud. So you're using mud as something that was, that you were like, I feel like crap, right? Meanings of like decaying and worthlessness extremely was enough for association with someone's name to become an insult.
Your name is Mud. I totally thought you were talking about Dorian for a second.
You mean the man who is contesting his championship status on our world famous yet contested game show, Word or Not a Word?
Why did Mud have to bring lawyers into it?
I don't know. Well, he called his lawyer Dewey Screw and How. As something that is at one extreme end of the scale, like good or stupid, mud features in many English phrases. Dragging through the mud in your eye. We got to do that one.
Mm-hmm.
Or as clear as mud, etc. The one that is has the most cause to hope isn't true, which is mud sticks.
Mud. Mississippi.
Mississippi Queen. All right, so your turn. What are you going to do next? Or you know what? Let's take a quick break.
Yeah, I'm tired.
And when we get back from the break, we are going to cover two more phrases. One, which is handle with kid gloves. And then what are you going to do?
A very short one.
Why is it short?
I don't know. Under the weather is just a short explanation.
You know what? I think whether it's short or long, people are going to still appreciate why we say, oh, I'm feeling under the weather.
I think that you are looking at people better than they actually are.
We will be right back after this short break.
The Word or Not a Word Tournament of Champions is coming soon. We might even have Dorian participate as soon as he drops that damn lawsuit. Stay tuned, everyone!
Welcome back to the show, everyone. And we are going to cover two more subjects, idioms, that Liam is going to start off with. And then we're going to jump into our world famous game show, Word or Not a Word, world famous yet contested game show, Word or Not a Word.
More like Word or Liam is the best human.
Okay, I'll agree with that one. What are you doing next? And then I'm going to do handle with kid gloves.
All right, get the timer, okay?
No.
Yeah.
No, come on. We got to give quality content to really our listeners.
Get the timer. This is going to be the shortest one yet.
Quality content for our listeners. It's not going to be the shortest one yet.
No, it really is.
All right, what are we doing?
Under the weather.
Under the weather. Why do we say...
Okay, get the timer.
Under the weather.
The term under the weather is a nautical term.
Slow down.
Okay. The term under the weather is a nautical term from the old days of sailing ships. Any sailor who was feeling ill would be sent below deck to protect him from the weather.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. That was like 10 seconds.
Because you have to be under the boat to be under the weather so you don't get
hurt. But that's still a brilliant explanation. Oh. I like that.
That's it.
Seriously, that's it.
That's really it.
So it had to do with ships.
Yeah. So
if a guy started vomiting on a boat,
he
said you need to go below deck.
Exactly.
Because we need to get you under. We need to get you under the weather.
Exactly. That's it.
Because the seas were crazy that day, my friends.
Just go.
All right, I'm gonna do handle with kid gloves.
Okay.
Now, not to be confused, which most people, and I've heard this thousands of times, and I've corrected them 1,001 times, it is not handle with kit gloves. And anytime anybody says kit gloves, K-I-T, I will always correct them. What is the origin of the phrase, what's the meaning of the phrase handle with kit gloves? Do you know?
I do not.
It means to handle a situation or a person or an object delicately and gingerly. But what is the origin of the phrase?
We'll find out now.
It's actually, some parts of this is actually a little bit kind of morbid.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What realization did you just come to?
I just remembered kids' hands.
No, not that. Wait, are you familiar with anything else that's called a kid?
A goat. So Satanism, that's what I was thinking.
Why would you go to that from what we were talking about? Like, why would you go immediately from kids' hands? Well, that's just creepy as it is. But why would you then go to Satanism? Like, seriously.
You said, what else is called a kid? Goats are called kids. What are goats? Goats, Satanism, sacrificing goats. You said gore, Satanism. Boom.
All right, well... You're a weirdo, and we really need to take you to see somebody, but I'm going to tell you what the origin of the phrase is.
For months.
Kid gloves are, of course, gloves made from the skin of a young goat.
And worn during satanic rituals.
No! but in fact, when they were first fashioned in the 18th century...
Wait, what does it being a baby change anything?
A baby goat is a kid.
Yeah, but why?
Well, we're going to find out.
Why do it have to be a baby?
Well, because kid gloves, not kids' gloves. It's not like they're stealing mittens from children in kindergarten.
Come here, children.
Oh, those are nice mittens. We used to have to put mittens with a string on them for you.
Oh.
Because you would lose them.
Well, you know what?
What do I know?
Something.
You know when somebody ever says you know what to me, I just stare at them and they don't ever answer.
What do you know?
All right, well, when they were first fashioned in the 18th century, they were more often made from lambskin.
Oh, so they're a liar and a murderer.
Well, because it was easier to come by. They were clearly not intended for use when you were pruning the hedge and wearing kid gloves was the sartorial equivalent of pale white skin. That is, it indicated that the wearer was rich enough to indulge in a life of genteel indoor idleness. Pretty cool.
Francis Mankey.
The earliest is Stinky Minky.
No.
Oh, no, that wasn't.
That's over. I'm not a child. I'd like if you treated me like an adult.
We're not saying Stinky Minky anymore.
Am I five?
Never mind. Indicated that the wearer was rich enough to indulge in the life of genteel indoor idleness. The earliest mentions of kid gloves are from England in the 1730s, and the following is a typical report of a wealthy gentleman laid out in his Sunday best, in quotes, from Bengali's News, the Ipswich Journal. Now, Ipswich is a town in England.
Yes.
In 1734.
Mm-hmm.
The corpse of Mr. Thorpe, a distiller in Soho who died a few days since, said to be worth £10,000, was put into his coffin, quilted within white satin, and after several yards of fine Holland, which is considered best quality linen,
mm-hmm.
were wrapped about his body. On his head was a cap of the same Holland tied with a white ribbon. He has about his neck 2 yards of cambric, a cambric handkerchief between his hands. So I'm assuming cambric is probably a town that specialized in scarves and handkerchiefs.
Yes.
On which he had a pair of white kid gloves. And in this manner, he lay in state some days and was afterwards buried in Buckinghamshire. All that time, kid gloves were viewed as rather ostentatious and only suitable for the nouveau riche, much as heavy gold chains might be viewed today. In the 19th century, kid glove wearing was taken up by a notable member of the gentry, William Paul Thynne Long Wellesley. Wow, that's a long name. The 4th Earl of Mornington, which might have been expected to establish them as a desirable accessory. The Preston Chronicle included this item in February of 1837. Man, a lot of stuff, weird stuff happened in the 1800s.
Oh, yeah.
You said last week you wanted to burn the 1800s. We can't. But man, I say a lot we of weird stuff
them.
Happened.
I say we cancel them. We can't. Them.
It's too late.
Really? Because they canceled Genghis Khan.
How did they cancel him?
Yeah, some people are like, hey, you guys heard of this Genghis Khan dude? And they're like, yeah. It's like, he did some bad stuff. Let's cancel him. And so they did.
Yeah, let's cancel a guy who's been dead for 600 years.
Genghis Khan, you may have been dead for like 650 years, but you can't show your face on Twitter.
Man. I weep for your generation.
This is really your generation. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I weep for the generation that we created. Anyway, the dismissal of gloves by the socialite and fashion authority, Beau Brummel, was enough to send them back to the 19th century Chav wardrobe. I don't know what that means.
Chav, I'm Chav.
Chav, C-H-A-V.
Yo, what's up, I'm Chav.
Incidentally, we weren't familiar with the word scouted as meaning scorned when I don't know what this part is.
It's something, all right.
Again, I'm doing excellent research.
You're not. My research was better, more compact, and awesome. And I'm funnier than you, stronger than you, smarter than you.
One finger, kid. One finger. When we return from the break, we are going to play our world-famous, yet still contested game show, Word or Not a Word.
Why do we say that?
No, Word or Not a Word.
Why do we say that?
We'll be right back after this. Quick message.
Pet-a-dot.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite game show, Word or Not a Word. Now here's your host, Wink Martindale. Wait. What? Ugh. Wink was too expensive. Here's your host, Scott.
Welcome back to the show, and welcome back to the world famous yet contested, thank you, Dorian Kemp, game show, Word or Not a Word. Liam, are you ready to play Word or Not a Word?
Are you?
Well, we actually have a guest on the line. Hey, caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Mustafa, but you can call me Muj. I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I'm ready to play
Moosh from Seattle, Washington. Thank you so much for being on the show. Did you reach out to us through our Instagram, which is at @y_do_we_say_that?
Certainly I did.
Excellent. Well, Moosh, welcome to the show. If you don't know how the show is played, and for those listeners who are just joining us for the first time, the way we play Word or Not a Word is you will get 1 minute and you will have 10 words and you'll have to decide whether those words are either a real word or if it's a made-up word by Liam. Are you ready to play Word or Not a Word?
Always ready.
Excellent. Okay.
I love the confidence.
He's got a ton of confidence. You know what? I'm smelling a tie for 10 out of 10 here. What about you, Liam?
I am Liam.
Are you on TikTok right now?
No.
All right, we'll get off. Because are you ready for the ticker?
No.
Okay, give me the ticker.
No.
Are you ready, Moosh?
Yes, sir.
All right, Liam, ticker.
No.
Warnad.
No.
No, you have to say word or not a word. Like, seriously, not word. We just explained it to you.
Not a word.
Equanimity.
Word.
Esclandrial.
Can you repeat that?
Esclandrial.
Not a word.
Grandioloquent.
Not a word.
Parsimonious.
Word.
Unencumbered.
Word.
Fartastical.
Not a word.
Winebibber.
Can you repeat that again?
Winebibber.
Not a word.
Perfidious.
Word.
Penogolin.
Not a word.
Score, Liam? 8 out of 10. Well done, Moosh. Moosh from Seattle, Washington. What a fantastic job.
Fantastic.
Now, you didn't hit our champion, our current reigning champion, Kirsty. Yeah. So you didn't hear her score, but you know what you get? You get this. A big round of applause for Moosh.
Well, I guess I'll take that. I guess I was overconfident. I thought I had it in the bag, but
you got one less than today. You got one less than Mud.
You got one less than Dorian Kemp, who is our contested champion, who wants gummy bears and a new pillow for his bed. But that's another story for another day, Moosh. Willing to come back because of that fantastic third place score? Well, technically, it's a second place score because Dorian hasn't been invited back to the Word of Tournament of Champions. But are you prepared to come back and compete in our Tournament of Champions?
Of course, 100%. Next time, I'm going to do significantly better.
Would you like to know what the prizes are?
Yeah, sure.
So the winner of the Tournament of Champions gets a avocado-colored Amana radar range, a brand new 1983 Chevrolet Chevette, a year's supply of Uncle Desi's cookies, and a fabulous all-inclusive weeknight stay at the Inn on the Park Hotel right in the heart of Midtown Toronto.
But it's a car dealership.
It's a car dealership now, but I'm sure we'll find some place for you.
Amazing.
Does that sound like something that you would love to come back and compete for in our Tournament of Champions?
Of course. That sounds great.
Well, you know what? We look forward to you coming back at the end of our season and playing Word or Not a Word Tournament of Champions. Thank you, Moosh, for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Well, you have a great night and enjoy your time in the hot tub.
Great. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Fantastic.
We almost had a brand new champion.
As soon as I heard that, man, I was like, damn.
You were hoping he was going to win?
Yeah.
Or did you want him to tie Dorian's score?
I just wanted him to beat Kirsty Eastwood. I didn't care about NTKK. I just wanted him to beat Dorian.
Yeah, well, Dorian's not technically in the tournament right now. Yeah. He still has some stuff to do.
Yeah,
he's got to clean up all that wood in the backyard that your mom's asked him to do, and we're not letting him back in until he takes away this lawyer's letter from Dewey Screw. How?
And he thinks he's going to be one?
Be what?
A lawyer.
Well, he wants to be.
I believe in him.
No, you don't. We do. No, we do, folks. We love Dorian. He's family.
He's just sucky at everything that he does.
Mario Lopez, watch.
He still hasn't answered. It's been 3,286 days.
3,286 days.
Oh, dang it. 3,767.
No, 77. 3,770. Oh, you know what? That would have been perfect if you had done that.
I just couldn't think of the number. I was like
3,777 days since Mario Lopez has not responded to our semaphore, smoke signal, skywriting. We even sent a message to the International Space Station.
I even sent
and I commented on a couple of his Instagram posts and I said, please, dude, come on. My son is like a huge fan of yours and Saved by the Bell. And it's all right because I'm Saved by the Bell.
I even sent a bald fat dude from Boston to go punch him in the balls and tell him, but that didn't even work. I was like, what?
Or some guy from New York?
No, he's from Boston. His name's PETA. With an A. P-E-T-A was his name.
But his parents called him Peter.
No, PETA.
PETA.
PETA. PETA from Dorshire. I'm from Long Island.
No, that you didn't. You got to work on the Long Island one.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode of Word. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit.
Your resurrection has been advised. Now I got
a disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
Wait, can I swear? This.
No, you can't.
Stinky
You're 16.
Butthole.
Stinky Minky.
Great child. I'm done here. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Please follow us on Instagram. Send us a message if you'd like to be a contestant on Word or Not a Word. Or if you've got a phrase that you'd love for us to do, we've done quite a few from our we have nearly 250,000 Instagram followers now. 300,000 Instagram followers?
Yeah.
Holy moly. Join us on Instagram. Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Liam, thank you so much for joining me this week. We're out for now.
Thanks for listening. We hoped you learned something today. Tell your friends about us and follow us on Instagram at Why Do We Say That for more great answers to life's mysteries. Again, sorry, not really. Just some fun stuff. Have a wonderful day, everyone.